Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, welcome to Siempre Pa'lante. Pa'lante.
Hola mi gente, welcome to Siempre Pa'lante, Always Forward. I'm your host, Hirado Luis Alvarez. Gracias for listening. In this episode, our guest is a proud Latina repping Mexico. Her inspiration began at an early age from her abuelita and great-grandfather who were artists in the familia. She embraced her ancestors' love for nature and art by creating in spaces like photography, videography, painting, sculpture, glassblowing, and performance arts. She thrives in multiple realities which include tangible creations like wearable art and virtual reality 3D sculptures that can be experienced both in the physical and virtual realms. There's no doubt that arte is in her DNA. Please welcome VR sculptor, performing artist, and speaker, creatress Sarai Mora. Who is creatress Sarai?
So I am a multidisciplinary artist. I create with all types of mediums. Right now, in this season of my art life, I am a VR performance artist. I'm focused on that medium, that craft. And I've always been an artist. I've always wanted to work as an artist. And now I guess I could describe myself as a bit of an NFT artist, which really just means my work is on the blockchain. So I'm a person that really likes technology, art, and learning. So I feel like I'm really in my zone right now.
I like that. I like that. So tell the listeners a little bit. You said blockchain, NFTs. For as many people as I know are well-versed in it, there's still tons of people that are just like, huh? So let's give them a 101 creatress style. What is this space that you're in? And promote a little bit about your work and how it came to be in this space.
I mean, the very, very high level view, right? Without getting into the details and confusing anyone. What we're able to do right now is take any artwork that we want and use the blockchain to verify its authenticity, where it started, who created it, and then its trajectory throughout the market. So you can see the first sale, the second sale, third sale, always verifiable anytime from anywhere. And then there's royalties that can be attached to these. So usually if you sold the painting and the person decided to sell it, you wouldn't see any kind of percentage on that. And now with the blockchain and NFTs and art and technology coming together, you are able to do that. So an artist can get paid 10 years after they created an artwork using this technology. So the way that I found it was through Clubhouse, the app. It's an audio app where people talk kind of like a podcast, but you're actually able to interact and it's live. And so I learned about NFTs in there, in that app, and having conversations with people that were way smarter than me and who had already been in it for longer and just constantly learning. Sometimes I'd be listening to conversations about it for 8 hours a day, no doubt, at least that long during the pandemic. And so my art that I developed that I finally decided to put on the blockchain, because it took me quite a while, it's a collection of extrasolar butterflies. So the butterfly is a huge theme in my art, in my life in general. And so I decided to start there, kind of make that my genesis or my beginning collection, because that you can expect that I'll have many collections throughout my life because I'm here to be an artist. So yeah, the butterflies are all from different planets, different exoplanets. So they're not from our solar system. They all look very different. They all have a very metallic type of reflective, almost like a hard, durable material look to them because they're out in space and they're traveling. I kind of got into picking an actual exoplanet that's been found by Mars, putting that in the description and making it one of the properties for each of these butterflies. I also created a custom soundscape for these. So I'm not a huge music producer or anything like that, but I just used the tools and the video editing software that I use. I was able to make like a little soundtrack that sounds kind of spacey for each of these. So that's kind of the first collection that I released on the blockchain. And there's a few more things, but that's been the one that I worked on the longest that I really, really enjoy.
Lo que me gusta a mí, that you do this live, you create this virtual art live. Once it's created, then it's right onto the blockchain, right onto the NFT world. While you're performing, you're creating a one of one, and it makes it even more special for the person who's searching for art to buy art, you know, the collector. And it makes it special for you too, because I'm sure there's probably some of these pieces. I mean, they're all special to you, but I'm sure you're like, I'll probably keep this one for a little bit. It means something because of the event you performed that specific piece at. So the connection with butterflies. So before NFTs, before getting into this space, the butterflies. Tell us a little bit about butterflies, what they mean to you, and how it came to be.
Okay, so the butterflies have been a constant symbol for me since I was really young. My grandmother, actually, she lives in Mexico. I have another grandmother who lives in Los Angeles. But the one in Mexico, she loves butterflies. And in fact, she has tons of actual butterflies that she dried and mounted in different frames around her house. She's got like a coffee table that's a glass coffee table. So you look inside and it's almost like a still life, but with butterflies and flowers that she's pressed and all these really beautiful things. Not just that, but like window panes, even with butterflies in them. And she's got like branches and flowers and things like that. And she learned it from my great grandfather. So her father did this and taught her, and she would go on these excursions and hikes in the mountains to find bugs and butterflies and anything that she could with him. So it's kind of like a shared memory that she told me, and then she showed me how, you know, the process of actually taking the butterflies and opening up their wings and mounting them and all of the things that go into that. So I made a few frames with her way prior to NFTs coming into my life. This was just like a very natural thing. And even before I knew even about the butterflies and her frames, and even knowing that she made them, she would always wear butterflies. She would have a ring or a bracelet or a necklace, or she would just have a shirt with butterfly print. The grandchildren always knew that that was her thing. That was something that she really identified with. And then in turn, the more I learn about butterflies, and it's like, oh, it's actually a caterpillar. And the caterpillar literally dies essentially in the process of becoming the butterfly. The symbology, I think, is pretty, you know, we all go through things where sometimes we think we're not going to make it out, you know, and then we do. And sometimes even every day, like there's little moments that you have where like things are just going wrong and you're like, oh my God, is this the end? You know, or like, it's just, it can feel like things are all ending, but they're really not. So yeah, that's kind of like my constant reminder every day. Like, we are transformed by our experiences.
That's awesome. And to connect that to familia, which is something special, the impact you're making and the inspiration you're giving to the next generation. I mean, you're part of the now generation, but there's even younger artists out there, which is insane. And they're gravitating to all this positivity that you're spreading. And it's awesome. It starts with the butterfly. So the art in the family, so from what I hear, abuelita, and shout out to abuelitas, abuelito, the ancestors, our spirits that walk with us, that take care of us and guide us. So you mentioned your abuelita will go on these excursions with your great-grandfather. Was art on that side of the family, or was in the other side of the family? Like, can you trace that back? And then now it's continuing with you?
It's mainly my dad's side of the family. So I mean, there are creative people on both sides of my family, but in this case, specifically with the butterflies, that was on my dad's side. My grandmother, she not only does the butterfly mounting, she does all sorts of art. You know, she likes to upcycle things a lot. All sorts of things that you would never think could be turned into art, she'll turn them into art. Very eco-conscious, but as well, getting into all sorts of things, painting, sewing. For my third birthday, she made a Cinderella dress. And so she made like that blue dress that she wears to the ball, and she just sewed it on her own, you know, which to me is still incredible to think about. But, you know, it's not just her, like my grandfather, he does wood carving now that he's retired. So he's carved like headboards and like replicas of different buildings in Mexico and like around the world. It's insane. And then their kids, I mean, my aunt is a mariachi. She's also a doctor, but like she's got that creative side. So she's a woman that is like a mariachi player. She sings, she plays guitar. I mean, all the things. My cousin, who's also part of that family, has been a dancer her whole life. Now she has a dance school. So she teaches other people to dance. I could go on and on, but like there's so much creativity on that side of my family that it's just pretty incredible. All you have to do is sit back and watch at any party. And it's like people will be dancing and singing and playing guitar and like just creating all sorts of things. So it's been really cool to grow up in a family like that, because it just encourages you to pursue whatever it is that you're passionate about.
The smile on your face is priceless. Something about family and those positive influences, those things about art and music and food, those things just stick with you and those memories. Because I'm sure as you're talking, you're thinking about different memories and some of the things you've shared already. What were some of the early influences, in addition to what you've shared, that really, to this day, it's just a special memory?
Something that, not even necessarily with family, but in sixth grade, I was in a small school called the Museum School. It was a charter school. There was, you know, maybe less than 100 kids in the whole school. And we had these different groups. We would kind of rotate throughout the year. You would have 5 weeks in each one of these like departments. And we had a community service one mixed with ceramics. So what we did was we learned how to use the potter's wheel, which was amazing on its own. And we made bowls, but then we made an event called Empty Bowls. So we would sell the bowls for, I don't remember how much, maybe $10, maybe $20 or something like that. And then during the event, everyone met up at this restaurant and you could fill your bowl with food from the restaurant. And then all the proceeds went to the hunger organization. So doing this with my school family, right, my friends, and then my mom and my sisters actually came to the event as well. So it was quite family oriented. It just really brought together the concept to me that you could do what you really like to do, which is art, ceramics in this case, and then you could pair it with a cause that would actually help somebody. Because I've always tried my best to help where I can. So yeah, that's really kind of stuck with me. And most of the artwork that I've created has had some kind of give back component. I've been part of, I can't even tell you how many fundraisers now in NFTs. And I want to keep doing that. Like anytime I can donate art or create something special for a cause, I'll try to do it. And in terms of the butterfly collection, actually, what I didn't mention was 10% of the proceeds go to Border Kindness. So as each edition of the butterfly sells out, there's 11 editions of each one, I'll donate 10% to this organization that helps asylum seekers and migrants and refugees. They give them services which include food and shelter and medical care if they're stuck at the border between the US and Mexico. So since I was born in Mexico and I actually came over to the US, I feel very close to that whole community and just wanted to give back in a small way. But I mean, it really goes back to what I learned in sixth grade at the museum school, which was like, you can do what you want and you can also help at the same time. So, yeah.
Did you know, sabías que? As a VR performance artist, creatress Sarai Mora paints and sculpts with light. Her first works minted as NFTs are a series of VR extra solar butterflies inspired by her ancestors and symbolizing metamorphosis and transmutation of the soul through time and space. The butterflies remind us there is beauty in transformation, no matter how hard transformation may seem. Visit creatressart.com and support mi hermana by investing in her art. And tell her Hidalgo sent you. Now back to the show.
Mexican culture is a beautiful culture. Share with me some of those things growing up about culture and family. Some of those things that you carry to this day, disciplines, teachings, consejos, that to you have stayed with you because art obviously has. What are some of those things and influences that really to this day you're carrying them on?
Being close to family is the main thing, you know. Most Mexican families are pretty tight, celebrating as much as possible together. So one cool tradition that I always enjoyed was New Year's. So we will have almost every year, except COVID kind of threw a wrench in it, but, you know, like a family New Year's Eve party. There's usually games. There's usually a dance contest. So dance was also a big thing from the Latin culture that's big in our family. Always a DJ. My cousin has a dance company. So yeah, that one was a big one. Always celebrating. I feel like that's one of the big things, celebrating everything, celebrating the wins. Echale ganas is something that comes to mind, which means, you know, just do what you can. Put some effort into it, whatever it is that you want to do. That's been a pretty constant. I feel like everyone in the family has in some way or another been encouraged and like supported on some level to study what they want, to pursue the career that they want. I mean, for me anyways, I feel like I really got a chance to do what I chose. I was kind of in a way required to go to college and I'm very grateful that I went. But I'm even more grateful that I was in the position to choose what I wanted to study, which was arts. But there can be pressure sometimes in Latin cultures for the kids to study a specific thing. And I'm grateful that that wasn't a huge part of my experience. I think those are the main things, you know, like keeping the family tight, staying in touch. You know, we have a WhatsApp group, multiple actually. Trying your best at whatever it is that you want to do and then celebrating.
You have all these talents and disciplines. Is there one you lean towards more than another? Share with us.
I think right now I do. I think it kind of goes by phases, at least so far it has. I think I've just finally found something that's practical for me and it's easily shared. So what I was doing before this, I was trying to pursue glassblowing, which something I didn't mention, I'm the first female glassblower on the blockchain. So I actually minted one of my glassblown artworks November 2021, and that sold to a really wonderful collector who's actually an artist herself, Latina. So super excited about that. But the problem is that glassblowing costs about $100 per hour to practice in a studio. So anytime I want to practice that, I have to pay at least 2 hour minimum for a studio, which is not super easy to come by if you're a working artist. So with the Oculus, you buy the Oculus, you have Wi-Fi and you got some space, you can do it. You know, once you buy the app, there's not a lot more cost associated with it. So I'm thinking practically as well as creatively speaking. So glass blowing is my second. My third favorite would be painting, probably oil. I'm looking around. I have oil paintings back there. I have a watercolor painting right here. I have an acrylic right in front of me. So I've got all three. I'm trying to think which one I like best. Oil and acrylic and maybe then watercolor. But yeah, I like painting on wood. I don't just like painting on good old canvases, although I do like canvas too. I think it's fun to play with different surfaces. So I like to do things different. Whatever it is, I always like to put my own little spin on it. So like, I couldn't just do a butterfly collection. I had to put in my nerdy science fiction side into it too. So like, it's extra solar butterflies. So I just like to take whatever medium I'm excited about and create with that. I don't want to limit myself to say forever in my life, I'm going to be a VR performance artist and I'm always going to make 3D sculptures. Because I'm already working on making a whole like environment, like an environment for the metaverse. So then maybe next year I could call myself an architect if I follow that path, a metaverse architect. And could I involve performance into it? Maybe, I don't know. But yeah, I'm all about trying new things and experimenting with what's exciting.
What are some of the favorites that early on, to this day, you just reference it back? You'll look at the picture. You might even own a piece. What were some of those favorites?
Being from Mexico, I always grew up with Frida Kahlo paintings all around. So I'd say Frida was a big favorite for me for a long time. I mean, she still is. Rest in peace. I recently actually made some artwork based on her face, on her portrait. Really like stuff from the Rococo period, way back in the days. Really rosy cheeks and like 18th century European, very romantic paintings, mainly oil paintings. You know, there'd be like a woman wearing like a really intricate dress. I remember I did an essay on the swing. It was just a really beautiful scene. It's like a lush garden and there's a little angel statues and all that. I always thought that was a really good one. But I also really like installations. The Contemporary Museum in San Diego that I would go, and they always had the best installations. It would be, you know, things where they use projectors and it's like a huge room and the art is just being projected on the walls, like completely all over the walls. And so you're kind of like inside the art. Like that type of art always excited me. Or I remember there was also this one artwork. You walked inside and it was almost like a little maze. And when you got to the very middle, it was a completely black room. It was made so that no light could get in there. So you were in the pitch black. And the idea was to stand there and I think wait at least X amount of minutes for your eyes to adjust. And then you could start to see like different things in there. But it was just such a crazy experience going in there and be like, whoa, wait, what are we supposed to do? Like, how long does it take? And then you would start to see people coming in and you could tell that people were like, whoa, what's going on? But you could see them. They couldn't see you because their eyes weren't adjusted yet. So artwork like that, that just pushes the boundaries and makes you think like, wait, what is this? I've never seen art like this, or I've never experienced something like this, would be, I think, my favorite types of things that I try to reference. I always want to do something that people haven't done before and like make unique moments in history.
Mi gente, when you get a chance, take it a step further after you listen. Help support Siempre Pa'lante by making a donation. This helps keep the lights on and, more importantly, brings you more cultural content and live events. Instead of buying that cafecito or fresh bagel, visit linktree.com/sp.alwaysforward. linktr.ee/sp.alwaysforward. Or go to the show notes for more info. Gracias.
What was something recent or maybe something in the past you've gone through that it was tough, but you got through it and you're a better person now? Overall, where you feel like, you know what, bring it on. Like the next time something you face is similar, or it might not be, but you're still, you know, more equipped to handle that situation.
So just to pick one that comes to mind, I guess it was when I was in college in art school. So it actually took me almost 7 years to do my undergrad and graduate. So I think that whole journey, even though it was really fun, about halfway through, I had to take a break. I actually moved away as well. Actually, that was the year that I was pregnant with my son. And I could not keep up with classes. And like, literally, I was so tired. I had morning sickness. It was pretty bad. And I remember just thinking it was like so sad to have to like withdraw from classes just in the middle of semester. You know, like I had already started, I already put all this work in, and I really wasn't sure if I would return. Like, and I think a lot of people were also thinking the same thing. And I remember having even classmates being like, what are you doing with your life? What do you mean you're gonna drop out so that you can go have your baby? Like, what are you talking about? Like, did you know that like most people don't come back to school? And I remember just thinking, like, are they right? Is this actually going to be the end? And it wasn't. That's the thing, you know, even though the road to actually coming back to San Diego State took a while, you know, I actually ended up taking classes at a community college in the meantime while I was away from San Diego. So it took a while, but I got back and I actually did graduate, which it didn't happen in 4 years like I hoped, but it happened.
You did it.
Exactly. And everybody was so happy. And so was I, you know, when it finally happened. And I think it just taught me that sometimes it's not that you can't do something. It's just you're going to have to put a little bit more patience into it. And it can happen, just sometimes not on the timeline that you set for yourself. And I think that has also taught me to just be flexible with myself. And some things in life you just can't control. So having faith in the journey and in myself that even if it's not happening right now or tomorrow, it will happen. I just got to kind of stay with it, not despair.
Your experience is something that you could always treasure because you finished. That to me is a valuable lesson of overcoming adversity for your son.
Yeah, 100%.
Because now he's like, on his journey and the path he chooses, that's in his DNA.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he was at my graduation too. So he very much knows, you know, I think he was about 5 during my graduation ceremony and all that. He actually went to my school a couple of times when I was still in school and would have to, you know, drop off stuff to the studios or whatever. And so he has like vivid memories of going to the school. And he's like, I remember it was a really big building in the sky. And, you know, it's like really, it's kind of up on a hill. So it, when you look outside, it feels like you're just like up in the sky, but it kind of became a journey together. You know, it's like we were both in school. Like I'd take him to school and then I'd take myself to school. And now he makes art too. He's also into NFTs. He's sold a good amount of NFTs so far, especially for a 9-year-old.
Hola, soy creatress Sarai Mora, aquí en Siempre Palante con Giraldo Alvarez. Thank you for joining us.
These types of stories is what Siempre Palante is all about. Hearing how people overcome, hearing about their families, how they inspired them, and all that played a role because now it's getting passed down because you have those stories, those memories, those lessons that you're passing down to him. You're here now, you're thriving in your space, and you're creating your next move, which is something that a lot of artists box themselves in into one discipline or one thing that they really love, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if you don't expand your horizons, right? If you don't say, like, I love what you said earlier, like, what's to say the next year I'm not going to be an architect in the metaverse, right? But that doesn't mean you stop being a VR performance artist.
No, of course not. They're two different things. The performance is more of a in real life thing, although it can be done as a live stream as well. And that's something that I don't plan on stopping ever. Whether I'm live streaming from VR, which is what I do now, so people can see my process, or whether I'm live streaming from my desktop, like a screen share in the future when I build spaces and I'm, you know, architecting, it can still be a live stream. So I feel like my friends and people who like my art will always have at minimum one live stream a month that I'll do from VR or from my desktop to show what I'm working on. So I'll always be doing the performances and I'll always be open to traveling to do performances in real life too. no matter what I do, because it's something that's so fun. Like there's music, there's dancing, there's like improvisation, which I took improv classes. I took theater for a short amount of time, but it was so fun. So like, I'll always want to do VR performance. If I ever shift my focus to a more full-time other medium, that'll still always be something that I enjoy, I think.
Right now, the space is so new, but at the same time, the longevity piece and the people that really create genuine spaces are the ones that are going to outlast all the rest of the projects, because there's folks that are going in for the quick buck. It's a hustle. But to me, I think there's two hustles. There's the grind, the hustle to do good things, but then there's that other hustle that is trying to just in and out, make a quick buck. And those will fall to the side. You're always in the mix. So you know, you've always seen stuff come across your way and you can sense it. This is what you do. So the word legacy to me is something special. What does legacy mean to you? What is the first thing that comes to mind when you think of the word legacy?
Oh, I think specifically for me, there's like kind of two components to it. You know, there's my son, Atlas. Leaving a legacy for him to me means putting everything out there, everything that I have in my imagination in terms of art and in terms of business, in terms of self-development, putting it all out there, like doing it all and trying it all on those three different things. And I think if I just do my best, if I actually put out all of my ideas and put it all out there before I go, I think that will create a legacy inevitably for him. That will be my legacy. Being, I guess, brave enough to try all my best ideas and to try to develop myself as much as humanly possible while I'm here. I think that's kind of the legacy I think of. And then in terms of specifically art, it kind of is pretty much the same when we look at Michelangelo or Frida Kahlo, like we've been talking about. You think about, well, what's their legacy? It's the artworks that are most seen afterwards, the ones that are best known. And it's also who they were as a person, you know, like the biographies that we think we know about them, right? So that part's kind of the same for me. It's like, I'd like people to know, oh, Creatress was this artist that tried everything that she could. You know, she experimented. She tried to be on the cutting edge of technology and tried to make art that was filled with love or with themes or symbols of compassion and kindness and, you know, self-development and higher self. Just trying your best to be the best person you can be, because we're only here for a short amount of time. So yeah, I think that would be the legacy in general, and then the legacy in terms of Atlas, but they're kind of similar in a way. It's just putting my best out there for the world to enjoy, whether it's while I'm here or when I'm gone. I think that's it.
Gracias, Creatress, for sharing your story. Your work is unique and crafted to perfection with every performance. It represents the love you have for art, culture, y familia. It's inspiring to see how you pull from the beauty our world and VR has. I'm excited to see what's next. Te deseo lo mejor y más. Mi gente, don't forget to rate, review, follow, like, subscribe, and share. It goes a long way. You can find the show via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Check the show notes to learn more about Creatress Sarai Mora. A Palante shout out goes to my editor, Santiago, guests, familia, and listeners. Gracias for your support. Tune in and tell a friend. Hasta la próxima. Palante.